Perhaps it counts to use a portion of the creed as a sermon text, but just to be sure, I've got one from Mark 15, verse 47. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. This is our text. On his way into the arena to face his trial and eventual execution, a voice came from heaven. "Be strong, Polycarp, and play the man." And he was, and he did. He played the part of a man, and even more, he played the part of a martyr. Though the flames would not kill him, the dagger did. Defiant, confident, and the recipient of a miracle of momentary preservation, Polycarp was faithful, and Polycarp died. We're not told if he heard a voice from heaven. Maybe it was just a groan from above. But whatever the reason, face to face with death, Joseph of Arimathea also found his courage and decided it was time to play the man. He publicly owned his allegiance to the crucified Jesus, staked out a minority position on the Sanhedrin, defiled himself ahead of the Passover, and with the help of Nicodemus, pulled Jesus' dead body from the cross and laid it in his own tomb. Compassionate, fearless, and bold, Joseph played the man and risked the role of martyr. Polycarp and Joseph come together today in a one-time juxtaposition. They share much common ground. Two men who step up and act like men. Two heroes of the faith, ready to proclaim their allegiance to Christ. Two men who lived with courage. Two men who are dead. Of course, we aren't told about Joseph's death, but we know it happened. The tomb he had carved eventually welcomed its rightful occupants. It was only a matter of time. It is the way every human story always ends. When the old sheep enlightens Wilbur about Zuckerman's plan to turn the pig into bacon before Christmas, the stunned and disbelieving pig seeks corroboration from the one only person he trusts. And Charlotte confirms the worst. "It's a dirty trick," she says. A dirty trick indeed. It is a dirty trick to provide life and all that sustains it only to end it. But Charlotte plays her own trick. And still, even the spider's clever plan of salvation provides only a temporary stay of execution. Every heroic intervention is always just a postponement. Save a life today, watch it end tomorrow. Death is the ultimate dirty trick, and no one beats it. Sooner or later, everyone ends in the same place. Charlotte dies. Wilbur dies. Zuckerman dies. Fern dies. E.B. White dies. Polycarp dies, Joseph dies, everyone dies. Death is a dirty trick. Eternity has been set in our hearts, in every human heart, but it does not matter because every human heart finally stops beating anyway, eternity or not. Every human dies. It is the final tragedy of every life. Every single life ends. It does not matter what you eat or don't eat. It doesn't matter how much you work out or don't bother. It does not matter how much sleep you get, the quality of your sleep, or how much stress you escape. Death always comes just the same. Death is the ultimate antithesis, the fulfillment of nothing, the negation of everything is not good or beautiful or inspiring. It crushes every relationship, shatters every dream, derails every accomplishment, and ruins every plan. Death is the dirty trick we have played on ourselves. So Jesus, God with us in our world, God in human flesh, God with us to save us, God with us under the law, with us even in our own condemnation. Jesus, who is like us in every way except without sin, Jesus does what we all do. Jesus also plays the man. Jesus dies. The Apostles' Creed moves quickly. We go from born of the Virgin Mary to suffered under Pontius Pilate with only a comma between. And this creed does not flinch like the Nicene Creed does. The bishops gathered outside Constantinople could not bring themselves to say, died. The Apostles' Creed, though, flatly declares the fact. Crucified, died, buried. That's it. Done. Mark is equally blunt. Elijah does not come to take Jesus down. Neither did the true object of Jesus' poignant prayer. Jesus was abandoned, left to die. But this was no trick. This was the plan. Jesus knew exactly how it was going to go down. In verse 43, Joseph makes his request for what now is left hanging from the nails. He wants to soma to Yesu, the body of Jesus. Twice in the next verse, the brutal truth is declared, tethnaken. He has died. By verse 45, what Pilate releases to Joseph is tepetoma, the corpse. No flinching here. No metaphors, no imagery, no spiritualizing away the awful truth. Mark declares the brutal reality. Jesus is dead. Matthias Grunewald captured the horror of the contorted, tortured, ashen wreck of Jesus' crucified corpse in his famous Eisenheim altarpiece. But less than a decade later, it was Hans Holbein who pushed things even further with his shocking portrayal of Jesus in the tomb. Barely a foot high, but 6.5 feet long, the stretched painting captures the corpse on a cramped tomb shelf where Joseph left it. No one rolls over in this grave. Sitting up quickly would leave a nasty lump. There is no room. The eyes and mouth of the cadaver are appallingly open. The body is gaunt. The ribs and bones are visible. Hands and feet are torn by wounds, swollen and blue, as in the case of a corpse that is already in the process of decomposition. That's the description provided by the wife of Fyodor Dostoevsky in 1867. Her husband was so overwhelmed by the painting that after standing transfixed before it for 20 minutes, she had to lead him from the room, fearing he would succumb to an epileptic seizure. And later, when he wrote The Idiot, the painting featured as evidence in the argument of an atheist. But Holbein was no atheist, nor apostate. Holbein was a proclaimer of truth. Some have suggested that Holbein went too far, but he only went where Jesus chose to go. all the way to death in all of its crushing, solitary, ghastly, rotting horror. Death is ugly. Death is evil. And death is the end of the story. And the end of our text? Jesus is dead, trapped in the tomb, until the Passover Sabbath is complete. But 5 weeks is far too long to leave Jesus in the tomb waiting for Easter. I will not play that dirty trick on you this morning, though I was tempted. It is still true, of course. The wages of sin is death. You have earned those wages. Death in all of its terror is your fate. But Jesus beat you there. He went first, and he blew it up from the inside. Death swallowed him, only to be shattered into oblivion when Jesus refused to stay dead. A corpse, no more forever, Jesus burst from the tomb alive, gloriously, beautifully, unbelievably, perfectly, fully alive. Jesus has won. Death is done. Your death is done. Your tomb will not hold you. It can't. Jesus faced the ultimate human curse. He went right into the guts of death itself and tore it apart. Death does not win. Yes, death still mars and perverts your life in this broken world. And yes, your death will still come. Someday, someone will put your corpse in a grave and shed tears and walk away. But then Jesus will come and find you and tenderly but certainly pull you up out of your narrow tomb alive, gloriously and perfectly alive forever. And then Jesus will lead you into the eternity he has planned for you all along. Crucified, died, and buried. Indeed, but not anymore. No, not anymore. Not for Jesus, and not for you either. Amen.